everyone. Welcome to the Real Estate Experts Podcast with Jacob and Jennifer Fries. This is episode number 4, and we are really excited today because we have a special guest. She is a brilliant listing agent, and that is our topic for the day. Cody Dooley is a native of Northwest Arkansas. She has 6 years of real estate experience, has closed over 360 transactions with an achieved $152 million in sales.
Woohoo!
Today, she is sharing some of the secrets to her success. Welcome, Cody.
Hi, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so glad you're here.
So excited to have you. So, Cody, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so other than building an amazing real estate team and business, I am a mom of 2 girls, 11 and 7, Evelyn and Sinclair. So you can catch me doing all of the crazy activities, basketball, cheer, piano. We root on the hog, so you can find us at Razorback events. So just stay really busy in the community. I'm from, like you said, from this area, so this community is really important. So we like to support it in all the activities that are around here, any and every time. And then, and we like to travel and just spend time with friends and family. My whole family is here, so that's really special. Nieces and nephews and my mom and dad, so we also do a lot of family events too. So,
awesome.
Yeah, just stay really busy with being a full-time mom, full-time agent, and trying to make the world go round.
I love that. I love that. I know I watch you on Instagram and I love everything that you guys do, your family. Yeah. And just recently you were like the Munstermans.
Oh my gosh, your Halloween.
Family, that's
your
right.
Halloween costumes were awesome.
And that looked so great. I mean, it was just like perfect, even with your folks in the picture.
I loved it. It's truly one of my favorite holiday traditions. We've been doing that since my oldest was a baby. Just doing a group family Halloween costume and everybody goes all out. It is truly one of my favorite things that we do. And it's so fun and the kids love it.
We are going to confuse our listeners a little bit because this is going to be airing in January, but that's okay.
But that's still, I love it. So Cody, I mean, you make it look so easy, right? I mean, but we know this industry and we know how hard it can really be. Mm-hmm. So can you just kind of explain, you know, a little bit about how you're securing all these awesome, wonderful listing appointments?
Yeah, I really do think, you know, we're blessed to have a great business to begin with and been rooted in Northwest Arkansas. Mm-hmm. So having those connections and building those relationships has been fundamental to our success, I believe, and just nurturing really all those relationships. So and then through referrals and word of mouth and just doing such a great job, that just kind of rolls year after year with that success. We've had some amazing listings, but I think every listing is amazing because I get to work with those sellers and then work with the buyer's agents too. So for me, it's truly about the relationship. Every single person that I work with is really important to me and instilling that relationship throughout the process and then beyond.
That is just amazing. And that's one of the things that, you know, we have been talking about. You know, there are, you know, transactional agents, and then there's relationship agents.
Yeah.
And so it definitely shows with your numbers and your stats that that's exactly what you're doing. And people just love working with you.
Thank you. I love working with them too.
Yeah, it's just so amazing. So, you know, one thing, you know, in regards to listings, I mean, if you can become a listing queen, and you are exactly a listing queen. So, you know, what agents really are trying to just figure out, you know, how do I become a listing queen? How do I do that? What are the steps or the skill set that they need to have in order to do that? And just a side note, if you do become a listing agent, you get to balance your life a little bit better, right?
Yeah, in theory.
I mean, you know, I mean, it's a little bit easier, wouldn't you say, when you're listing rather than just always working with buyers? Because buyers, you know, their hours are kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So.
And it is easier on some fronts, I always say, because you're not out there showing buyers 100 properties and making offers. But I always think it's a different challenge because your sellers are so emotionally involved in the sale, and we are shifting into, I say, a normal market.
Right.
So in the past couple of years, it's been even easier because things were selling like hotcakes and couldn't keep them on the market. Now we're going into that normalization of the market, so things are staying on the market a little bit longer and managing those expectations on the front end, and kind of calming any any kind of emotional ups and downs with the listing process. So I actually find it a little bit more stressful in making sure the seller is satisfied with everything that we're doing to market it and getting buyers into the door and getting offers. There's a little bit more pressure, I would say, that I'm very cautious about. So it's easy in terms of like the hours, but then it's harder because there's a lot more pressure in servicing that seller and making sure that they're really satisfied with everything that you're doing and we can bring them a qualified buyer with a great offer.
And so, you know, with all that said, you really have to, you know, master that craft.
Yes.
Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so, I mean, you have to know what to say, how mm-hmm. to say it, how to present things
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some things that agents need to know to become a great listing agent? I mean, what are the some things that they can do to grow their business in some fashion?
Yeah, so there's lots of different ways. You know, I've done it all sorts of ways and people specialize, but really your basic foot in the door is if you live in a neighborhood, go after that neighborhood. We just had Gene mm-hmm. Rivers come to our office
yes.
at Keller Williams.
He was awesome.
And I always love hearing him. I've heard him a couple times, and it's really back to the basics. It's really
yes.
not that hard. You just have to do the work, and you may not like to do the work, but if you're just starting out, you have no listings, you have no business, like just follow the rule book, follow the MREA, follow
right.
An expert.
Right.
And if you do those things, you will be successful. So getting back to basics, it is, if you have a neighborhood, I mean, farming in that neighborhood is key to getting listings in your neighborhood. And staying consistent and top of mind. And then when you do get a listing in that neighborhood, shout it from the rooftops that you got a listing. When you get it under contract, shout it from the rooftops that you got it under contract. Go door to door, meet your neighbors, have neighborhood events. When I first started, I was in Creekwood neighborhood and, you know, I did. A Sinclair, I think, was 2 years old. I had her in a wagon and I was going around the doors and making sure they knew what the homes in the neighborhood mm-hmm. That were listed and for sale and knowing your neighborhood market stats and being the neighborhood expert. So that was a really great reminder that I just heard the other day, but it's true.
Right.
And then once you start having those successful listings, then you market yourself and then just know the business, be the expert. Learn, be curious, read up on the market, know your market stats, and know pricing and know and be confident in those things.
Yeah.
I just recently was at a listing appointment and this is not the time to over promise price.
Mm-hmm.
And being okay with being kind of firm on this. I mean, I understand what you want,
right.
obviously, but knowing what the market's doing right now and just like I said, managing those expectations up front and not being afraid and to know your business and know your trade. I always CYA. I'm like, you can yeah. ask for that, but this is probably where we're going to end at.
Right.
I think that, though,
yeah.
Shows the experience of the agent.
Yeah.
Because you do have to be firm sometimes. You can't just promise them the moon and then it sits on the market for 6 months. And
mm-hmm.
then they're like frustrated. Like, why isn't this selling?
Exactly. And then you can say, well, remember that conversation that we had when I first met with you? This is where we're at.
Yep.
Because I always kind of play out those scenarios too of like, okay, I hear you. Like, you want this. This is where I really think you are. But this is how this could play out. We could gamble the market and maybe you win, probably not. Mm-hmm. The highest statistic of a gamble. Or you can price it to where I believe strongly that it should be priced at. And maybe we get multiple offers. And maybe we get more
Absolutely.
Than list price because we priced it at the market value or even a little bit below to garnish those multiple offers. Pricing high right now, not a good strategy.
Yeah. And one thing to touch on that you said earlier, I really like is farming. Everybody in mm-hmm. real estate talks about farming
yeah.
Neighborhoods. And you're so smart and you're mm-hmm. so right. Just start where you're at.
Get
to know your neighbors,
yeah.
right? It's again, it goes back to the relationships.
And it doesn't have to be salesy. I'm not a salesperson.
Right.
That's always my big joke. I'm like, I'm a relationship person. I'm a people person. I love people. And that authenticity really, I'm just who I am. I'm not
right.
trying to be anybody else. And I do love all people. So that's like easy. That's just icing on the cake of going after your neighborhood. So that if I were to start over, I actually would have hit it harder than I did.
Okay.
I would have really hit it hard, knowing what I know now. You know, I'd probably still own that neighborhood.
Right.
But we moved out of that neighborhood and we have another agent on our team that's done a fabulous job marketing and farming that neighborhood. So let her have it. And she does a fabulous job. And a lot of her listings come out of that neighborhood because she does such a great job farming.
That's awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what I really love to hear, you know, because you're a mom and you took your daughter.
And that's awesome. I like
in the wagon. Yeah. You were so relatable.
Do you have any pictures of this? This would be so cute.
I'd have to dig them up, but I might just her along with me.
But that's the key to be who you are and to show people this is my family. This is where I'm at. This is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, just really speaks to the families that you were knocking on their door and talking to.
Yeah.
And they're like, OK, I like this. I love this lady.
I do what you can do. You know,
I mean, exactly. Yeah. I remember when we had originally met and you were telling me about taking your daughter with you so many places.
Yeah.
And I was just amazed because, you know, back in the day, a long time ago, but I didn't take my son on appointments. Yeah. I think he went on one buyer's appointment, and it was because it was a last minute deal.
Right.
Now, he wasn't patient, probably like your daughter.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a
really
little
good. Yeah.
You know, probably a little bit of a difference.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just saying, I mean, I think it's awesome that people can see you in that element, you know, motherhood as well as realtor.
Yeah.
I love that.
When I first started, and I got into this business because I wanted that work life balance. Joke became on me because there's no such thing for me. But I did. I had my 2-year-old with me 3 days a week, and just had to make it work. And I remember going to an appointment and another agent was going to be there. Now, my buyer I knew was cool with my little one coming, but I didn't know another agent would be. And I remember talking to him and I said, hey, I'm going to have my little girl with me. And he gave me the best piece of advice that stuck with me from that point on. And I was really new. And he was like, if somebody doesn't want to work with you because you have to bring your kid, they're probably not somebody that you want to work with.
Yeah.
And I just took that and I'm like, you know what? You're right. And nobody ever had any problems. And in fact, she became my little mascot. I have clients still asking and following me on social and just feeling part of my family.
Right.
And it's so cool to see.
That's so true, though.
I love that. Because you're creating a niche.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the important piece. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and that's something, you know, that we always want to speak to is who is our niche.
Yeah.
And so you want to speak to people that love that about you, that your family is important to you.
It is, yeah.
You know.
You just have to do what you can do.
Exactly.
So now, just a full disclosure, I never took her on an appointment where I didn't know the person.
Right.
From a safety perspective.
Right, right.
But once I established that relationship and it was okay and cool.
Sure, like, then, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, there were many a days that she was with me for a full day of showing appointments and we just tagged along. So
she's a trooper, huh?
I still honestly can't believe I did all of that, but I did, for quite a few years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, awesome. Well, we're going to pause for a second for station identification. So, where can you find us at? We have our YouTube channel, and that is the Real Estate Experts podcast on YouTube. And then, of course, anywhere you find your favorite podcast. So, Cody, you've talked about farming a little bit. I wanted to ask you about some other lead generation tips that you may have that doesn't necessarily include farming. So is there any other tips that you could give our listeners?
Yeah, so obviously from being here and having the network that Mike and I have, our sphere is my number one lead generation source. Yeah. And then it's back to like establishing and cultivating those relationships. So I'm always talking to my past clients and friends and family and just nurturing those relationships. And I think just through our success, it's just been an organic growth of hopefully when people think of real estate, they think of me. And again, those touch points aren't like, hey, do you know, it's very like just friendly and conversational.
The forward question.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just me and just making sure that my sphere and my cheerleaders, I'm loving on them because it's true. I want to love on them because they are my friends. And even if they're past clients, like they become my friends. Like even when I first meet with people that I may or may not know, I'm like, listen, I care so much about you. Like we will be friends at the end of this. Mm-hmm. And then I carry those relationships on way past the transaction. And I think that's really been the key to my success is just cultivating from the very beginning forever. I mean, they're my clients for life. I actually had it wasn't a great transaction, to be honest with you. I didn't know the buyer very well. But I still treated her like a queen and we had we got through the issues as great as we could. And I could have easily been like, you know, but I've checked in on her. Like, do you need anything? What can I help you with? And she commented, actually, this week, she was like, I've never had a realtor actually help me after the close of the sale. And I'm referring you to a friend.
That's awesome.
Wow. Yep. And so, and honestly, that did surprise, because it wasn't a great, I mean, it didn't go great. Not my fault.
Right. Yeah. But things arise. That's for sure.
I did try to do what I could control. That's always what I say. I'm like, I will control what I can control and, you know, work through it as best as we can.
Right.
And that really impacted her. And so, yeah, we're still friends, and she's going to refer
awesome.
Me and
follow up and follow through.
Up and follow through, and just loving on your people who have supported you and being grateful and thankful.
Yeah.
And genuine. I mean, those are kind of the key things that I kind of fall back on is just I'm always myself. I'm very honest and transparent, very transparent.
I love that.
Good. Yeah, that's awesome.
And and so it's really just loving on your people, your sphere, your database goes back to that.
Do you find it difficult sometimes to have those tough discussions with sellers? And what do you suggest?
You know, and this is experience and confidence in your trade. So probably at the beginning of my career, yeah, I probably did. At this point, no.
Yeah.
Back to that transparency, back to setting those expectations at the beginning of that conversation of like, okay, guys, so we're in option C right now.
Right.
Remember, I went over the scenarios and we talked about it up front. We're there. So how are we feeling about where we're at? This is everything that we've done. And of course, I'm still touching my sellers every single week, a couple times a week.
Right.
So I'm very involved and active with my sellers. It's not put a sign in the yard and say, I'll call you when you get an offer.
Right.
I'm talking to them. I'm giving them the marketed stats. I'm giving them all of our marketing levers that we've pulled and the impressions and the views every single week. So I'm giving them that service, you know, that they're hiring you for.
Exactly.
Is to be that expert. And why isn't my home selling? To provide some upfront ideas of what we could do to help it if you're willing.
Right.
And so I think that getting that ahead and being okay with that. But again, it goes back to level setting those expectations upfront of like, okay, we gambled, you went too high on price. We haven't had any showing, so we're here.
Right. It's so true. That's so true.
And making sure they are a partner with you up front, like knowing and pulling that out in those initial conversations of like, hey, we're partners. We're on the same team. We're going to get you to the finish line. You know, we are a collaborative team. So when we tell you something, it's because you've hired us to be that expert.
Right.
And so just establishing those key points up front. And then when you have to have those hard conversations, well, you kind of already preluded that you were going to if it didn't go the way we thought it was going to go.
Setting expectations.
And this market is unpredictable. And I say that too. I'm like, it's unpredictable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are things that are still having multiple offers and going really quickly. There are. Yours could be that one.
Absolutely.
But then there's a lot that aren't, and yours could be that one too.
Well, I think you nailed it too. When, you know, there's so many agents that got into the business during COVID and they don't understand what they're looking at right now as far as the market. And so we are in a normal market, but they're like, oh my gosh, what's going on? You know? And so that comes with experience and knowledge that you guys both have.
And I say that too to any seller right now is like, we're in a normal market. It's been a little inflated the last couple of years. That was not something we probably will see anytime ever again. I mean, I can't say that because I don't know. I can't predict it. But that's what I say too. I'm like, I don't have a crystal ball. I just know what's happening.
We don't anticipate COVID again.
No, we don't. But we didn't anticipate it to begin with.
Right.
It's like you don't know what's around the corner. Nobody has a crystal ball. So it's like we can just plan for what we know today. And things can shift very quickly.
And that's the thing. When you're really keeping an eye on the market, you're watching it very closely for your clients. And so when it starts to pivot, you're keeping them in the know.
Right.
So they can adjust.
Right.
And that's the important piece of that is helping them make those adjustments when they need to.
Prime example this morning, I've got a luxury listing that we haven't had any activity on. It's kind of in a new construction phase. So I've already been a little like, well, that could be the thing is because if we've got pictures of a frame, you know, we don't have pictures of a house. So, and then it is a price point that there's a few buyers in.
Right.
So even this morning, I just sent him some market stats of like, hey, in the last 30 days, like these are the homes that are still active. In this price point, and these are the ones that just went pending, just to give you a view of our competition that went pending in our price point.
Right.
And just little things like that too, to make sure like they know that you're on it. And there are some things that are out of our control. I mean, a $1.2 or a $2.2 million luxury property isn't going to move overnight. And again, just exactly. having those like reassuring conversations like, hey, we're still fine. You know, let's wait till we get a little further down the road, continue to do our marketing levers, continue to do our reverse prospecting, all the things that we're doing. But just reassuring them, because everybody is so used to things moving so quickly. Right, it's like, right, no, we're fine. There's only been six houses that have moved in this price range in this last month and all of Northwest Arkansas. We're okay.
Right.
But the good news is there were still six people that bought.
Exactly.
So and that's still the out there.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's still buyers. There's just maybe fewer buyers.
Right.
So with all that being said, you're talking about a luxury listing. So mm-hmm. just tell me, is there a secret sauce for you? Because you're obviously, I mean, you're brilliant at those. So
you're
getting lots of them.
Yeah.
So is there any secrets to give other agents just to kind of help them understand, well, maybe if I do this or do that, I mean.
I don't know the answer to that, to be honest. I think a lot of it is just those key relationships have driven other, you know, referrals and just a little lucky. I hate to say that, right. but a little bit of luck. And I don't say luck because everything, how I've treated.
You've worked very hard.
I worked hard to make sure every client of mine has had a great experience, that I've built those referrals and trusted partners.
What's the saying? The harder you work, the luckier you get, kind of.
Exactly. So I'm like, I hate to say lucky because it feels that way sometimes. Yeah. But then I do have to check myself to be like, well, no, if I treated, you know, if I didn't give everybody that client experience that they were hoping for and I would deliver upon, that wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
So it's just treating everybody with the utmost, like the best client experience that I can give them is really my goal.
Right.
Every single listing, I treat them all the same, to be honest, like a $200,000 listing to a $5 million listing. They get my service. They get me. They get my response times. They get all of that information. So client experience and customer experience and that relationship experience. I mean, that's really what I built my business on is because I do care. I mean, I really do care.
Right.
Yeah.
Really about the person and the family.
Right.
Not really about anything else. And I think that comes through. And so that kind of goes back to that luck piece of like, well, no, it's not luck. I built those experiences to be able to be trusted with those beautiful homes.
Right.
But sometimes it does feel lucky.
Well, you know, this is the whole thing. So in episode 3, we've talked about client experience, mm-hmm. you know, and that is the key right mm-hmm. there is just that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
really
so
is.
Key, mm-hmm. and, you know, making sure that client feels it through mm-hmm. the entire process. Mm-hmm. And then even after the sale.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
That's awesome. So
after the sale to me is almost more important they kind of go hand in hand, but after the sale, just really delivers on that promise that you made at the beginning that I am going to be your realtor for life or whatever you're saying I really am going to follow up on that promise and make sure you're taken care of every step of the way
and staying in the flow with them
mm-hmm.
staying in their life being
mm-hmm.
involved
mm-hmm.
so
and yeah
so a little technical question on the listing side of things. How would you give advice for mastering the perfect price? Because, you know, we talked about it earlier, mm-hmm. But what's kind of the nuts and bolts of that?
So obviously I run comp analysis. I look at the whole, wherever they're at, kind of that neighborhood view, depending on what it is, right? If it's a cookie cutter neighborhood home, that's easy to comp. I mean, those are pretty easy.
Right.
So you can stand very confidently to be like this many people or this many homes sold in the last 30 days or 60, whatever, at this price per foot. And so it is what it is. The challenging ones are the luxury mm-hmm. sometimes and the lake properties.
Right.
So those are really challenging because they're not apples to apples.
Right.
They don't. I mean, it can be really challenging. So I always kind of go in at a range. So I'll have like a low, medium, high. And then my personal preference is to go right in the middle. And it's probably not gut. It's just knowing what I know about those areas and just seeing all the stats of and here's a question I always ask. I'm like, do you want to hold out for the most money or is time or money more important to you?
That's
is time
question.
Or money more important to you?
Yes.
I ask that every time when we're debating price.
Right.
My favorite clients are the ones that are like, I trust you. Yep. That sounds great. I love that. And I was like, I love you, girl. Thank you. She's like, I trust you. Just tell me what to do. Those are the best clients.
Yeah.
Right. Those are the amazing clients.
And guess what? I'll probably have an offer for her this weekend.
There you go.
Because she's taking your advice, going with your direction.
The challenging ones is time or money more important to you? Because if you go out high, and this is a scenario play out, if you go out high, we could likely sit there for a while. Mm-hmm. And then the key indicators will tell you if you have, you know, 10 showings in 2 weeks and no offers, you priced it too high. If you have 10 showings, or if you have 2 weeks and no showings, or, you know, again, back to price.
Right.
As long as price, condition, and location, some things are controllable or uncontrollables, but price is always controllable. And at some price, every home will sell. So if they're like, price is more important, and then I'm like, well, this, you know, you might lose price because you're going to go out too high. And the longer you sit there on the market, the less you're probably going to get.
Right.
And that's just true.
And it just eats up the days on market.
Correct. So then after 2 weeks, if we're still there, no offers, even in this market, I'm like, you know, we're probably overpriced. Right. And then it's another discussion.
Now, how do you feel about advertising a price drop versus just making the price drop? What's your thoughts there
we
on how
it advertise.
Looks?
Okay. It's just another marketing pull. It gets it right back in front of the buyers that may or may not have considered it. And it does trigger to say, okay, they're motivated, especially if it's a quick drop. Mm-hmm. But again, I probably already told them that that's what would happen. But that does usually pull out additional showings and then eventually mm-hmm. an offer. So we do advertise our price drops because we just want to make sure that anybody that's been viewed they see it.
Yeah. They see it again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's coming right back at them. So that's
mm-hmm.
great.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think, I mean, I love Keller Williams. So mm-hmm. I'm just going to ask you this. I love Keller Williams. So why do you think Keller Williams is a great place? If someone was just agents that are out there listening and they're thinking about where they need to put their mm-hmm. license, what can you say and what can you speak to the culture? Yeah. Because I'm a fan.
Well, clearly I am too. My husband and I definitely are. We've known no other brokerage.
Right.
We've been Keller Williams through and through from day one. I haven't even glanced or even paused to think of another brokerage, if I'm being completely honest.
Right.
I've been 100% impressed and enthused and always learning something new all the time. We have the best leaders in the industry by far.
Absolutely.
Having our best interests at heart every single day. It's just been an incredible organization. Obviously, my husband being super involved in our local market center. Right. But I mean, the people are what make it go round. And we have some of the best agents and staff. And I mean, it's just every time I go to any Keller Williams event, I'm just like, man, we just really have the best people. And again, that's kind of what I thrive on is being surrounded by really good people.
I feel like Keller Williams just takes continuing education to the next level.
Oh my gosh. I mean, there's training every week. I'm like, oh my gosh, another one. Sometimes it's like, okay, but it's like they really pour into our agents and make sure everybody mm-hmm. knows what's going on, there's no reason why Keller Williams agent can't be successful. We have given them every single tool.
Yes.
Under the sun when it comes to real estate.
Yes.
It is right there. It's actually written in a beautiful handbook
I know.
That you could just read. So that's what I tell new agents to all the time. I'm like, we have given you every tool to succeed. It's up to you and your hard work to put it into effect. Mm-hmm. Because that's really what it comes down to is the individual, because there's no reason at Keller Williams you're going to fail. No reason whatsoever.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Jennifer, we're coming down to the wire here on our time. So why don't you, do you have anything else for her before we go into the lightning round?
Oh, yay.
Do you have a book that you would recommend?
You know, the Million Dollar Real Estate Agent.
Yeah.
I actually, after Jean was here, I was like, I need to read it again. I've read it a couple times on the book, Audible. It's just always a good refresher. It's back to basics. We're going into 2024. And it's a great one. And then One Thing, I need to go back and read that too. I do get a little squirrely. We were talking about that outside.
Yeah, yeah.
I get a little squirrely. And so because as a mom and an agent and as all these things, like my mind is always flowing with all sorts of things and tasks that I have to do. But just that one thing. And for agents, it's lead gen every day. And just keeping that focused and top of mind, whatever that looks like for each individual. But you got to prioritize it and been hit over the head the last couple months with all of our Keller Williams training with just database and lead gen. It's not hard. You just have to do it. Even if it's an hour a day, just put in the work.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. And those are two excellent books.
Main books. We're working on an organizational structure. So I have recently read Traction, which is an entrepreneurial operating system book. But that's been my most recent read.
Okay. I haven't read that one. I'll have to put that one on my list. Yeah. Traction.
Well, again, it goes back to focusing on those one things.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a good one. I'll have to write that down.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for being here. So we have a lightning round for all of our guests. Okay. These are just quick little answers. Okay. So, favorite day of the week and why?
Friday evening.
Can we guess why?
Yes. So we're so busy during the week. And so every single day we have a kids activity except Friday. And so we really lay low on Fridays if we can help it. I cook dinner. We watch a movie. We just veg out and just collectively like kind of reset because the weekends are really busy too. So Friday evenings is just like our family time, our quality family time. We have a nice little ritual and it's my favorite time of the week.
Awesome.
Aww, I love that.
So favorite city in the U.S. besides the one you live in?
Ooh, I do love the city. favorite city. Oh, I love Charleston, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite cities. Been there a few times. It's just cute and quaint and just makes me happy.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Favorite band ever? Are you big into going to concerts?
Yes. Actually, I'm really into Pink right now. Okay. That might be surprising for some, but her new album, Trust Fall, like I love it. I've been listening to it on repeat. My daughter and I are going to go to her concert in November if she doesn't cancel it. Yeah. So we're really looking forward to that concert.
Oh,
so she's kind of my flavor of the year, I would say. I've been following Pink.
Okay. Biggest pet peeve?
People not being accountable for their actions.
Okay.
That's good. Yeah, that's really awesome. Good. In this business, I mean.
Just in everything.
Yeah.
My daughters, too, I'll be like, no, you need to be accountable for what you did wrong and what you can control and how you're going to fix it. So it's really big for me is if you did something wrong, just own it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. It was just so awesome to sit down with you and our listeners. So we are going to wrap it up today. Cody, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was amazing. Thank you.
So where to connect with us? Again, we are on YouTube, the Real Estate Experts Podcast, and of course, all your other favorite podcast platforms. Thank you. Appreciate it. We look forward to talking to you again next week.